We've been talking about our theme for this year. As Christians, we're called to freedom. And that's a very special thing. It's not always real easy for us to understand what it means to be called to freedom. So we're gonna spend some time today talking about learning how to live like freed men. It's not something that you just know. It's something that you have to learn. Galatians 5, which has been our text, and it will sort of be our jumping off point for this entire year. The apostle says that Christ has liberated us to be free. And then he says, stand firm. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. If we drop down to about verse 13, he says, you were called to be free, brothers. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. So we're going to talk about how we learn to live like freed men. I did some research through the week and began to look at other people who have a hard time learning how to be free. Remember, we talked about how our freedom in God is a from and a to. We've been released from something and we're called to something else. Well, you would think that people that had been in jail would just get so excited if they ever got out of jail. And you would think that they would never want to go back. Sadly, that's not the case. 39% of all offenders released in 2005 later committed a violent offense. They've been released from jail and they went back and they did the same kind of thing that got them incarcerated in the first place. 63% of those whose first offense was a violent offense reoffended, and they got arrested again for the same kind of violent offense. The mean time from release to the first time that they're rearrested was only 18 months for violent offenders. 18 months after they get out of jail, they went back and they did it again. Now, what that tells me is that it's hard to learn to live like a free man. And it's hard for us, too. You know, we were all trained sinners. We didn't start out as sinners in this life. Well, that's not the way we came from the womb, but we did learn how to do sin. And unfortunately, most of us learned how to do it and do it reasonably well. I don't know if you can remember the first time that you decided you were going to commit a sin. I do. I remember my mother asked me to go get a diaper for my little daughter, my little sister. She's 4 years younger than I am. And I remember I was sitting in a naugahyde chair. You don't know what a naugahyde is? That's vinyl. But my parents didn't have much money. And This was a big deal that they had bought this Naugahyde chair, and it was in the living room. That was my dad's chair when he was there, but he wasn't there, so I got to sit in it. My mother asked me if I would go get a diaper because she was changing Galicia's diaper, and I didn't want to do it. So I decided that I would take a pair of scissors and poke holes in that Naugahyde chair. In the seat, I poked about 7 or 8 holes in there. My dad later explained to me what a bad idea that was, and he poked holes in my hide. But I remember deciding that I was going to do that. I can remember some other things that I did where I started learning. I remember the first time I decided I was going to shoplift a pack of gum. Does anybody else remember that? Remember anything like that? You don't have to answer. But I remember. And I got pretty good at it, unfortunately. We didn't start out being sinners, but we sure learned how to do it. Now, the problem with learning how to do sin is that most of the time we get away with it. Am I right? What was the first lie that you told? Did you get caught or did you get away with it? First time you shoplifted a pack of gum, did you get caught or did you get away with it? Well, most of the time, we get away with a lot of sin. We don't get caught. And because we don't get caught, success breeds repeated behavior. Hey, this worked the last time. Maybe it will work again. And so, well, as the prophet Jeremiah puts it in the King James translation, Jeremiah says, we become accustomed to doing sin. Jeremiah, the 13th chapter, and at verse 13, Jeremiah asks a question that makes it sound like you can't change once you've learned how to become accustomed to sin. And we'll spend some time talking about the fact that you can learn how to not live that way. But in Jeremiah 13, at verse 23, Jeremiah says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are, in the King James translation, accustomed to doing evil, that are trained to do evil in some other translations. A newer translation says that we have learned to do evil. We just plain learned how to do it. And we got fairly good at it because it worked. Now, that's a really unfortunate fact, but it did for many times work. And ultimately, when it works, it leads us to things that we don't even really want to do. Romans, the first chapter, at verse 28. Well, beginning at about verse 28, the apostle says this: even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's an odd word. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he describes this progression. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. You know what that means? Without natural affection? Natural affection is used to describe the way that a mother feels about her child. That's what you know. And if you start down this road and you become trained, eventually you'll get to the point that you don't feel anything for your children. You can kill a baby and not bat an eyelash. And you know, we've gotten to that point culturally, socially. Our society has reached the point where we kill babies and we don't even think about it. It takes a lot to get to the point that you can do that. The most innocent creature that ever existed, and we kill them. We call it abortion. Maybe euphemistically we call it women's health care. But we can get to that point. Now, I remember I said in verse 28, convenient was an odd word. And it really is. How many of us think about doing things that are not convenient when we talk about the sins that we commit? In fact, it really seems like they're kind of convenient for us because they get us out of trouble. Why do we lie? Because we don't want to face the consequences of what we've done. So we lie because, well, it seems like a convenient thing to us, but that's not really what convenient means. We do things that we don't even think are appropriate. Acts, the 22nd chapter, at verse 22, the mob got so mad at the Apostle Paul because of what he was saying that they tried to get the authorities to arrest him, take him, and put him to death. They said it said this way in Acts 22 at verse 22, they gave him audience unto his word, and then they lifted up their voices. They said, away with such a fellow, for from the earth, it is not fit that he should live. This man is so bad, he should not live. Now, that's what they argued. That wasn't the case, but that's what a mob can do. And you know something? That's the same word as convenient. It's not fit. Sometimes we commit sins and there's a consequence. Sometimes we go to jail because of the sins that we commit. And you know, in many ways, a jail is a terrible place to try to learn how to stop behaving that way. Everybody there behaved that way. Really, all a jail does is produce satisfied criminals. Now, let me explain that a little bit. When we go to jail, we learn to lower our expectations. And we get our expectations low enough that living without freedom can satisfy our expectations. That's a harsh statement. Lowered expectations can be achieved through continued sin. And really what jail teaches us, and most of the time the consequences teach us, is that we can continue to sin. We become accustomed and we just keep on doing it. Now, again, you would think that folks that had been caught would learn not to sin. This is a study that was done on shoplifting back in 1984. It was done in Texas, and they were trying to figure out a way to reduce the number of people who were convicted of shoplifting crimes and incarcerated, released, and then came back to jail. So they're trying to talk about how to reduce repeat offenses, or in one word, we call that recidivism. And these are not kids. These are adults. They ask those people, why did you, what possibly was going through your head when you recommitted this crime? They've already been caught. They've already served time in jail. What possibly was going through your head that would make you commit this crime again? This is what they said. And these are not in any kind of rank order. The study didn't present them in any kind of rank order. These are just the things that they said. If I'm careful and smart, I won't get caught. That's not what a free man says. That's what somebody with lowered expectations says. Even if I do get caught, I won't be turned in and I won't be prosecuted. Shoplifters are always amazed when, when somebody calls the police. Even if I am prosecuted, the punishment won't be very severe. The merchants deserve what they get. They're ripping us off. They deserve people to steal. This is one that I think is surprising. Everybody at one time or another has shoplifted. It's okay for me to do it. Lowered expectations. Shoplifting is just not a major crime. It's not like you shot somebody. I must have the item I want to shoplift. If I want it, I should have it. Now, let me stop there for just a minute. I worked with incarcerated individuals for a while. I couldn't believe that they made the statement that they made. He had it. I took it. He didn't stop me from taking it, so he must have wanted me to have it. That's not the way a free man thinks. It's okay to shoplift because the merchants expect it. Remember, these are people who tried it. They didn't get away with it. They got caught. They went to jail, and now we're talking to them to see what they're thinking. They don't know how to live like freedmen. But we can unlearn those bad habits that we learned. This is important for freedmen. We can unlearn those habits. God gave us a training manual. Problem. One of the problems is they won't let you take that into a jail anymore. That's where they really need it. But God gave us the training manual. First of all, and perhaps most importantly, here in Galatians 5, and we'll be talking about this more in coming weeks, God tells us yet again about the wonderful things that freedom gives. And the second thing he tells us is how to get there. This is not easy. We come to God with a lot of background. When I was studying school psychology, and I was studying kids, and especially kids who act out in one way or another, I had a professor who was really very bright. He said, you know, the reason that kids get away with what they get away with, they have boundless energy. They will just keep trying. And they've been in basic training for the last 8 years. It's hard to change. But God does expect us to take advantage of the training that he gives. Remember we read Jeremiah 13? Jeremiah 13, can the Ethiopian change his spots? You read that and you think, what's the use? I can't change. The Ethiopian can't change his spots. The Ethiopian can't change the color of his skin. The leopard can't change his spots. That's just who you are. But remember the context of Jeremiah 13. This is a statement that's made by Jeremiah. Well, it's a statement that's made by God, and Jeremiah repeats it. But he repeats it for the purpose of telling the Jews, look, turn away from the way you're living. The way you're living is going to get you destroyed. Turn away from that. If they couldn't have turned away from it, Jeremiah was just flapping his gums. But God expected them to be able to change. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, at verse 16. Look at how important the Bible is to this whole process. He says, all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There's that word. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is the key. Understanding what God has given us is the key. And we'll see as we continue our discussion that it's not just that God said, if you do this, you will be punished. Punishment by itself doesn't usually change behavior. You have to learn how to live free. And so that's why God told us this. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 12, beginning. The apostle said, in fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you have need that someone teach you again the elementary truths of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Solid food is for the mature. Who, and get this, by constant use, that's training, isn't it? By constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. God said we could learn how to live like freed men. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, now don't, when I talk about being free, don't think that that means you can just go back and do what you used to do. Don't do that. That's making it an occasion for the flesh. He says, instead, I want you to learn to live like free men. Man, do I need that training. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the month of February. Training to use love so that it leads us to a life of righteousness. What a blessing it is. Thank goodness God has given us the way to unlearn all of the foolish things that we learned. And it's not just lowering your expectations so that the life of sin will still work. God gives us great promises. In fact, Peter says, by these we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, because God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. So we're going to talk about that. I know how hard this is. I know how easy it is to relapse. You decide you're not going to do this anymore, and you do it again. I know how easy that is. But we can learn. And it's constant use. Learning to distinguish between good and evil. Well, if you're here this morning and you're trying to get through life, or you're at home and you're trying to get through life, living this life of sin and trying to make it work, it won't work. It might look like it's working for a little while, but think about where it's taking you. You don't want to go there. It's just not fit for any human to go there. Escape it. Put on Christ. Learn from him. We want to help you to do that. We'll meet with you, whoever you are, wherever you are. And we will talk about the things that God has prepared for you. You can unlearn what you used to do. That we call that repentance sometimes. You can confess that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. Then you can put him on in baptism. What a great deal that is. The old man is crucified. Will we still have trouble with it? Yeah. John says, if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar. We still sin. But if we repent, God will still forgive. So we want you to let us know. More than that, we want you to think about it. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. The celebration of the death that makes all of this possible. Mark's going